You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsome.
Welcome again for another Physics Ed Podcast. Glad to have you again for another chat around STEM. And today, we're very much looking at the M in STEM. We're hanging out with my good friend, Associate Professor Mary Couplin, who is at the School of Mathematical and Physical Sciences at the University of Technology, Sydney. She loves mathematics so much so, she very much gets involved with many different undergraduate subjects and getting people involved in mathematics in general. Loves her work in this. And this is the thing. You can love mathematics and teaching about it too. Today is very much a chat about different ideas around how mathematics might fit within your teaching and some of the ideas that she has when it comes to the ethos and understanding of mathematics in general. She has a lot of awards, believe me, and I can very much check that out in her bio. But in the meantime, let's get into the chat and learn a bit more about her ideas for mathematics in STEM.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
Well, Ben, I like making mathematics more interesting, more valued by students. I like making mathematics classrooms more fun, more relevant to real world issues. And I think I would really like to break down that barrier that says, oh, I'm not quite understanding this, so I'll drop down to an easier level in mathematics. I think if we can encourage kids, motivate them to stick at maths, I think they can achieve all kinds of things that they didn't even know that they needed to know. And mathematics is everywhere in the world around us. And I guess that's probably my mission.
Well, you sound a little like me when I think about how I think about science. I think science is everywhere around the world and very much is the case. And mathematics underpins, frankly, how the universe works from the very large to the very small and everything in between. But also ignoring all that esoteric thinking, it's just a way of thinking. It's logical.
It's logical. And I like the description I heard a very revered mathematician give one day, which is that pure mathematics and applied mathematics are two sides of a coin. So you can't have one without the other. But when we think of pure mathematics as being abstract, as being, you know, very super intelligent, and applied mathematics as being everything from everyday commerce and dollars and cents right through to engineering, perhaps. But they have to go together. And if you get that balance wrong, I think you can turn kids off too soon. Probably the same in science, is it? You've got some heavy theoretical science, but you've got so much practical science.
Oh, you see this a lot. I mean, you're at a barbecue and people just want to know how a particular thing might happen. And it doesn't matter what industry they work in, their background. People are just curious people because that's what people are. They're curious. Get rid of the fancy terms and just talk about the ideas. And that's what it can be. And I was actually just thinking, you're talking about the two sides of a coin. I think there's three. There's the edge. And maybe the edge is actually where the two come together.
That's a very nice thought. I hadn't got that into my head yet. The edge is, I like that. And of course, it's growing all the time. That's another thing. People sometimes think that maths and science is finished. You know, it's all in the textbooks, but it's not, of course. It still goes on.
You just reminded me of which I can remember who said it. There was some proclamation, you know, those old style 19th century type proclamations. We've learned everything to do with the world. And then this person who kind of changed everything with relativity changed everything. So it's just, we don't know everything, nor will we ever.
No, we won't.
Yeah, and that's the fun part. That's the exciting bit. In your world, you would cross both sides, the pure through the applied and everything else. I mean, so what interesting projects do you see happen through the faculty?
Well, at UTS, we were very lucky to be part of the Australian Maths and Science Partnership Program. Mm. Now, this was a big initiative of the federal government back in 2013. They said, tell us about projects that will bring maths and science together.
Yep.
And UTS, along with CSIRO and the Australian Association of Mathematics Teachers, We put together a bid and we were successful in winning some money for a project, which we called Maths Inside. And what we did with that money is make classroom materials that bring mathematics that's inside science and inside objects. We brought that, or we tried to bring that into the classroom. So the project made videos of scientists talking about where they use science. And along the way, of course, we helped them with their scripts and we suggested ways they might talk about mathematics. And of course, we didn't have to do that artificially. They use maths, of course, being scientists.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so I'm biology trained, so very much went down the statistical route, but it is everywhere. And I mean, I actually have a really, really good chat. And I know a friend of yours, Professor Asha Rao, down in Victoria, talks about this too. She has this pure love of just how the numbers all seem to flow through
Flow
things.
of numbers, yes, and the flow of ideas, and the fact that you can get started on something and you don't know where it will end. But I think also what's really nice about the videos we made, and I must say CSIRO did a wonderful job with these videos. They ask the scientists to talk a little bit at the beginning about what got them interested in science. And very often it was things like looking up at the stars at night, questioning their parents about things that they saw happening in the world around them, nature, that kind of thing. And I think that's really interesting to hear these scientists who are very steeped in their research, but talking about how they grew up and the questions they asked when they were young kids. And how that led them into various different research paths. So we have Robert Slott, who's a robotics engineer. We have Lisa Harvey-Smith, who's a radio astronomer, and lots of different people. Interestingly enough, yeah, sorry.
That sounds fantastic. And by the way, Professor Lisa Harvey Smith is also the Women in Science Ambassador, I believe, too.
Exactly. Yes. And we do have male and female scientists, of course, in the videos. And something that our feedback told us quite early on, because of course you don't just do a big project, you have to check along the way that it's reaching your target audience, which in our case was high school kids, years 8 to 12. So we did some research into their reactions to the videos and the classroom materials. And one thing that a couple of the kids said early on was that it would be nice to see groups of scientists, not just one person.
Oh, that's a
And
good
so
point.
some of the videos, yes, became enlarged, and they showed teams of scientists. The nutrition one, for example, shows how teams work together. You'd have a nutritionist, you'd have clinical dietitians, and you'd have statisticians all working together to solve problems, to talk to people about their diets and so on.
Which is fantastic. I'm actually looking at it right now. So that's the one with the type 2 diabetes size of things. And it was a large coordinated team. And there's not just videos. You look down the bottom, there's a number of activities that students can do and design for different grade levels, which really does make sense. It's really handy.
Yes, well, the AAMT, the Australian Association of Maths Teachers, helped us with the classroom materials. So they are clearly set out in terms of what year group, what topics, and relate. We know that they relate to things in the syllabus. And the other thing is they're all in Word or Excel so that teachers can download them and adapt them easily to what they need in their classroom.
That's key, the adapt part, because I was in a chat last week around bushfires in schools, and the very first thing, in fact, it's even just sitting behind my computer. I know it's an audio thing, so no one else can see, but I've got it in my hand. And there's a lovely document, and they said, "Well, how can we pull it apart?" Which is a classic example of someone who wants to take ownership of what's happening with their lessons, and it's very cool. And actually, just looking at the scenarios, it's all over the place. Bees with backpacks. That's really interesting from a colony collapse disorder side of things through to hospitals. Wow, there's heaps of stuff.
Yes, look, I really love the bees with backpacks because Paolo D'Souza, who's the scientist is so keen, and it comes through the video very clearly. We need to know more about bees so that we're prepared for situations where the numbers are dwindling. And what he does is attach these tiny microchips or radio, what is it, RDIs, you probably know the term, to the back of bees. And they're very light. They don't harm the bees. And then each time the bee enters or leaves the hive, a little signal is sent. And so they know, for instance, that bees don't just live in one hive. They go off to other hives. He calls it pajama parties. And they might stay in another hive for a couple of days and then come back to their home hive. The other thing is, of course, that bees forage in the environment and have, then they come back and they communicate to other bees the direction to go in to find food. And all of that is fascinating. You can use that as a an example of networks of, you know, best path through a maze. Those kinds of mathematical things can be, you know, launched into by starting with looking at the natural world.
Oh, gosh, so, I was just thinking about the thousands of bees moving in and out. I mean, that's an extraordinary amount of data.
It is. And, of course, you have to get into sampling then, because you don't need to put backpacks on every bee. So how many bees is enough? And so all of that statistical, you know, technology and machinery and knowledge has to come into the project so that, you know, you're measuring enough bees to get a good sample.
So, thinking about a bit further away from, I mean, Mass Insight is a fantastic project, but there'd be people around the world who may not even heard of it, and obviously they can go onto the site and find out about it. But every teacher listening into this will have a syllabus they've got to follow, and for some, it's absolutely meaningful. They go, "Yes, I know exactly how to teach it," and others, it's sort of, "Okay, how do we make this so it's hands-on?" How do you, when you look at any particular mathematical idea, equation, et cetera, how do you approach it from your mind thinking, how can I get a student to learn a particular concept well? Is it best to start off with exploring real world ideas with their hands, or is it better to work with abstractions, with numerals on a board and learning how they interrelate? Like, how do you think, I guess is what I'm asking.
Oh, okay. That's a nice question. Look, personally, I'm always interested in mathematics as a human invention. I know people say mathematics is in the world around us, but we don't know that until we invent codes and algebra to describe the world around us. And in that sense, I sometimes think it's a good idea to begin with the history, actually. If you're teaching calculus, why was calculus invented? Who invented it? What problems were they trying to solve at the time? And I think I must get a plug in here for materials by a great mentor of mine, Mary Barnes. Now, she wrote a wonderful series of books for the Curriculum Corporation, which are still available, called, of course, now the name's just gone straight out of my head. But if people Google Mary Barnes and Introduction to Calculus, they'll find, I think it was Investigating Change. That's what it was.
Okay.
And she takes that approach. You know, why are people interested in rates of change? That kind of thing. But then another approach is to build on what students already know. And so if they already know positive numbers, well, with a few questions, you can nudge them towards looking at negative numbers. So I think a good teacher has all of these tools at their fingertips, and they choose the right approach to suit their class, because not every class will be motivated by the same approach.
That makes a lot of sense. I remember doing outreach years and years ago, not on behalf of the current organization, with the and they said, well, there's no point talking about city concepts or ocean concepts. There are kids out there who have never seen the sea. So it's making it better in their lives kind of makes sense, right?
Yes. That's right. Or giving them some options. That's a good one. Science is all around us, but if you're in the middle of Australia, what do you want to know about coral? Well, you might want to know. You might want to be
True.
able to visit the coast one day and find the coral. And yes, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because you don't want to be it's a balance, isn't it, between using what students know, but also opening windows and doors for them so that they can move beyond.
Oh, for sure. A good friend of mine was on this podcast, Steve Sherman. Hi, if you're listening in, mate. It's Steve, runs a great organization out of South Africa called Living Maths, and he was
Nice.
describing this program. He was running a session with his kids, and inevitably there sometimes there's a kid who's not engaged and the kid's looking out the window a lot, and just said to the kids, "Well, what are you looking at? Just curious." And the kid had been watching the cable car going up and down to up and down to the mountain and back. And so he was able to fold this student back into the lesson through actually, yeah, hey guys, let's work out what is the mechanically how this is working and the mathematics of this particular object. And now the kid was engaged with the not realizing that they were going to be the star of said lesson. It's just a really good example of, okay, not always can we do this, because sometimes maybe the child might just need to pay attention. But in this case, he was able to use what the kid was actually interested in, because the kid just wanted to be outside and on the cable car, was able to get the kid engaged again just by talking about what the kid was interested in.
Yes, look, I think there's a lot to be said for that. And Dan Meyer, Meyer, he has some wonderful videos and materials about that very thing, shooting hoops in basketball, and how do you analyze that with mathematics and things like that, and ways that teachers can bring students in.
Oh,
Sometimes
for
group
sure.
work is a good idea, get kids into a group. Sometimes it's not. You have to just weigh it up.
G'day, it's Ben here. I hope you're enjoying this particular chat. And guess what? There's so much more you can do with your science teaching. Head on over to physicseducation.com.au. There are complete and comprehensive teaching units that you can get your hands on. If you click on the top, you will find there are a whole bunch of scope and sequences, cross-curricular teaching ideas, hundreds of printable experiments and activities, videos, risk assessments, marking rubrics, you name it. It's all there and it's all linked to the curriculum, and it's something that you can implement right now. Head on over to physicseducation.com.au and check out what's on offer.
Well, I remember you and I hanging out at an event, and we're talking about applied mathematics and helping kids understand how everything works. And I remember sort of talking about some stories where students are very good at plugging things into an algorithm and believing the answer is correct because the mathematics is right. And the actual example I was using was, I think it was mark and recapture with little toy koalas. And they would happily tell you with their hand on their heart, there's something like 10,000 koalas in this box that there was no way it could hold more than 200. Okay. But the mathematics was totally correct. And it's interesting how blindly we can believe what's in front of us when our calculators work. You know what I mean?
That's right. It would be nice to always be able to check the calculator, wouldn't
Well, that'd be true.
it?
That'd be something. But yeah, it was just an interesting way. I mean, as I think about the how we might teach, I mean, whether it's simple geometry. I mean, for me, I like teaching with circles with an anemometer, because an anemometer measures wind speed, and you've got these little cups moving around, and there's a certain distance they travel and a certain amount of time. And now we can kind of measure wind speed as an actual. We need to learn how to do the maths to be able to do the wind speed, rather than being it unto itself. But it's. Oh, no, I guess it comes down to imagination. What could you do with the triangle? Well, are you going to measure the height of a building? Whatever it is that you want to do. There's a lot of different ways to apply the maths. I think I'm on the applied side as I think about it, Mary.
Oh, I thought you might be.
Yeah,
Yes, with
just a
all your
bit.
interest in science. And by the way, Ben, congratulations on your award too, your two awards for the ETS alumni the other night.
Oh,
That
thank you.
was really great to see.
Oh, no, thank you so much. I mean, yeah, that was the event where we actually catch up. But yeah, thank you so much. That was quite a night at UTS. Yes, it's a very, very fortunate to be named as amongst those people. But yeah,
Well done. Great.
thank you.
Really great.
So what do you think Maths Inside, I mean, it was conceived in 2013, 2014, rolled through to about 2018, but the information's still there. But
Yes.
as we know, the world moves on. There's more science being created, there's more mathematics and how it's being applied. Is there opportunity for people to update it and all that sort of thing?
I hope so. I'm hoping that if we manage to get the project going again, what we have agreed is that we must do two things. One is without going too far from the science, go a bit more into the trades because there's maths inside trades, of course.
Yes.
And a second thing would be to look at Indigenous mathematics as well. And that there are people who are experts in that area, and so interviewing those folks would be really interesting to do. So those are two directions if we do manage to continue the project in
Yeah.
terms of creation. But yes, as you say, the materials are there. I want to give a shout out, if I may, to Anne Prescott, who was the co-leader of the project, and Sandy Shook and Marco Angelini, who were collaborators. And a part of the project, which is quite separate from the videos and the scientists, was done by someone called Jason Stanley at UTS. And he is a remarkable mathematics teacher. And he wrote a section for the website where students can assess their own mathematical knowledge at that juncture between high school and uni.
No, that's good.
So it's not a teach me something, it's a what do I really know about quadratics and functions and trig? Am I ready for university mathematics? We call it Pathways to Uni Maths, and it's all there on the Maths Inside site.
Oh, that's really handy. I mean, I'm actually thinking is when I first came into first year university, I thought I understood mathematics, but there was an entire area where I hadn't even seen the symbols before, let alone know what to do with them. And
Right.
no, very much so. I mean, I had never seen a sum of sign, would you believe?
Ah, that's interesting. Yes. Well, that kind of thing can throw you a bit.
Then
Yeah.
I had to learn an entire language because it's a language.
It is a language.
And
Yeah.
speaking of
Yeah.
language, you're very much involved in a congress coming up next year. What
Yes.
was that all about?
Well, the Congress is the 15th International Congress on Mathematics Education. It's in Sydney, 2024, at the International Convention Centre. And the dates are 7 to 14 of July. We expect thousands of mathematics teachers and educators from all around the world to be in Sydney next July. So we hope that people will come and meet all these overseas visitors. It's a wonderful opportunity for teachers of maths and science, I would suggest, to experience the latest research in mathematics education, and to hear about projects that are being rolled out across the globe.
That will be an extraordinary opportunity because, I mean, you're right, because it's an international congress. I mean, so it's the 15th time and now it's come to Sydney. So it sounds like a real opportunity. Is this open just to high school that could turn up, or would primary teachers be able to turn up? Would
Primary
students be able to turn up?
teachers, just anybody can enroll.
Yeah.
It will be most interesting, I think, to teachers and to people training to become teachers. I went to my first ICMI in Adelaide in 1984 as a new high school teacher, and I just
Oh.
loved it. There was so much to find out. There were people in the Netherlands teaching fractions in a way which I'd never thought of before. They were gurus of mathematics education to talk to. And it was very inspirational. I do think that anybody who can get there, it's in the school holidays, so hopefully people might be interested in coming to Sydney, go to the conference, bring your family, do things on the non-conference days. I think it'll be great. It only happens every 4 years, Ben, and you have
Wow.
to bid for it. It's a bit, little bit like the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
Cities bid for the chance to run this conference. And once you're in the conference, you can choose a stream. So the streams might include teaching geometry, They might include teaching early childhood maths. They might include research into the history and pedagogy of statistics. I mean, and there's all kinds of streams within the conference.
That would be an extraordinary time. It actually feels like it's something that could make an inflection
It
in
could, yes.
I really can see that, because I mean the number of times I've been lucky enough to be go to international conferences before, and you just realize just how far ahead others can be and how much you can miss out because you're just not exposed to it.
That's true. That's true. This is a chance to hear all those people from the countries that do really well in those international tests that have been in the news recently. So Singaporeans will be there. But as well as that, it's an opportunity to meet with other Australians because it's not often that Australian maths teachers and maths educators get together.
No, this is fantastic. And I love that the throwaway line is come and be counted. Yes.
Yes, yes.
This is good.
Yes, that's right. If I could get a plug in here, we're hoping to have a poster competition for school kids.
Oh, good.
So to make a poster, and the theme will be Everyone Counts, because as you say, the conference theme is come and be counted. So everyone counts. How do you count? What do you count? How do you keep track of things? How do you estimate when you're counting a large number of things? So the possibilities for the poster are quite big there.
Yeah.
And there'll be some prizes. We have some sponsors. So it'll be an interesting
Oh, that's
event.
fantastic. So if you're wondering, just go check out icme15.com. So that is icme15.com to check that out. And definitely, if you just had find your favorite search engine, type in maths inside and UTS, you will find that. And I will get both those links in the show notes as usual. Absolutely. So I'm just curious if you had, I mean, you do, you're in university, you're doing with students all the time. If you had a bunch of students who are going to go out into the big wide world to teach mathematics in high school, let's just say, and you're going to give them some parting words of advice, what would that be? Now, that could be quite broad.
Oh, they would be broad. I think keep learning. Keep learning yourself. Don't think that maths is finished and it's in the textbooks. Maths keeps going. And I think our teachers can always learn more about teaching, about their own students, about ways to make maths exciting. And go and talk to people in other staff rooms. Don't just sit in the math staff room, you know? Go and talk to the science teachers and find ways to work together on things. I think that's happening more with the impact of STEM projects, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math.
Oh, for sure. And there's opportunity to bring it into, well, it's everywhere. I mean, you can find it in art or whatever you'd like to do. Absolutely.
That's right. That's
All right.
right.
Look, Mary, it's been fantastic having a chat with you, and I hope you have a decent break as I timestamp this particular this discussion. And I'm sure that that Congress will go very well. And please, if you're listening in, go check out Maths Inside. It is very much a deep program, and you can implement it, well, frankly, now in
Yeah,
your classrooms.
absolutely. And do get in touch if you have any questions.
Oh, speaking of which, how do we get in touch?
Well, mary.coupland@uts.edu.au.
Easy, and I'll put that in the notes as well. Look, Mary,
And
this has been a pleasure.
Ben, it's great to talk to you, and all the best with physics and science education. You do great stuff, and maybe we can put some more maths in there somewhere. Who knows?
Look, any chance to be able to get kids to learn more, I'm up for that.
Good, good. Great stuff.
Awesome.
Thank
Thank you
you.
much.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
We hope you've been enjoying the Physics Ed podcast. We love making science make sense. Why don't you book us for a science show or workshop in your school? If you're outside of Australia, you can connect with us via a virtual excursion. See our website for more.
So I hope you enjoyed that chat with Associate Professor Mary Coupland. I certainly did, and I love the passion for mathematics and making it tangible and real for students. That is exactly our job. And I'm sure that if you listen on in, you might have picked up a few ideas as well. Now, if you want to go find out a bit more, the links are in the show notes as usual. Or you can look up Mary Coupland at UTS and you'll be able to find a bio and some of the work that she's very much doing. So look, I hope you enjoyed this. I certainly did. My name is Ben Newsom from Physics Education. This is the Physics Ed Podcast, and I hope to catch you another time.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.
This podcast is part of the Australian Educators Online Network. AEON.net.au